Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Wednesday evening of the yard. It's been an eventful couple days. I'm back home in Starkville. I didn't want to be, and I know you guys didn't want me to be, and you guys wanted to be there as well. But Mississippi State's run in Hoover lasts just really one day. And I would like to give a shout-out to the terrible meteorologist that convinced the SEC office that we needed to postpone last night's game. I'm going to give you guys a little backstory, too, just full disclosure, okay, just so you guys know. As soon as I got to the ballpark on Tuesday, which was right at the opening of the Kentucky-Oklahoma game, I listened to Alabama-Missouri on the way. It took me a little while to kind of get things settled, and I got on out of here. And wanted to be there, and I thought, man, if Kentucky wins, I want to go talk to Nick and, you know, just visit with him a little bit. And, of course, they didn't. But as soon as I got to the ballpark, somebody who should know came up to me and said, hey, be prepared. Game may be pushed till 9:30 in the morning. I'm like, why would we make that decision now? I don't know. That makes no sense to me. So they were already talking about postponing the game yesterday at around, I don't know, what was it, noon, 1 o'clock? I don't know what time the game started. You'll have to go back and look for yourself. But there were still two more games to play and a lot of data to collect about the weather. And so, and I know some people are going to be unhappy I'm talking about it, and I don't care, okay? I don't care. I want you guys to know what happened. I owe it to you to give you the truth. So as soon as guys, I haven't even unpacked my stuff. I haven't even set my bag down. I go and get my credential. I get upstairs, and he's like, hey, just be prepared. May push the game at 9:30. And, of course, they have to wait for initial announcements. I don't, right? I can, like, if I begin to learn things independently, I can share that with all of you. And I do. And I've got a responsibility to do that on my website and, of course, on social media, because I feel like, hey, what's the point of me being your eyes and ears if I'm not sharing with you what I'm hearing? I wanted to give you guys a chance to prepare a little bit, right? Then a little bit later, I'm told, yeah, it's probably going to get pushed to 9:30 in the morning. And then within an hour's time, we go from, yeah, it's probably going to get pushed to, hey, there's some optimism that we're going to play the game. And I'm going to give you a timestamp on that because I want you to know. And so Let's see here. If I can find this. I don't know. Let me look. I don't remember what time I sent it out. But anyway, so at 6:48 yesterday, I was informed unofficially that the game was going to be moved. The Florida game wasn't even over, right? But nevertheless, that's the case. So I guess it was around 6:05 or so. I tweeted that out, that there is some optimism we get the game in. And there were some people telling me, we really don't want to start and stop, but we also want to stay on schedule. And somebody else said, well, we've kind of got a built-in break for Thursday, so if we have to push back, we can. And so they push it back. We let you guys know as soon as we found out. And I tweeted out, waiting for official word, but that's what I'm hearing. We're pushing to 9:30. And immediately I heard from some of our Mississippi State weather people, and I mean that in the weather industry, people that were educated at Mississippi State, not somebody from Mississippi State, somebody that's a product of Mississippi State, are like, I think this is premature. And so, lo and behold, they bang the game and get up there. Sam Sklar and Robbie are up there. We're all, you know, it's like, and Sam, I told Sam and those guys as soon as they got there, I said, don't be prepared. This is what I'm being told. And Sam's like, yeah, I guess they were right. And I said, yeah, it's crazy that we knew, you know, around lunchtime yesterday that was the possibility. And my thing about that is, if that's how you felt, you know, why make A&M and State go to all the trouble of showing up? You had every intentions of banging the game, and of course they push it back, which enables Texas A&M to change their pitching plans. Instead of it being West and Moss, with another day, Ryan Preger goes, and that proved to be a difference. We'll talk about the game a little bit later in the show. But my whole thing about that is, if that was the plan, then it should have been executed much earlier, before so many people got in the car, made the trip over. Because we have a lot of alumni in Birmingham that showed up at Hoover to watch the Bulldogs play and then didn't get to see the Bulldogs play. And some of those people, of course, had to work today, so they missed the game. And so I don't think it was handled well, and it may have been handled with the best of intentions. When I got – I didn't even book a hotel until I said, I want to book a hotel for the rest of the week and then get over there and let's lose the first day. So I was just going to do a day at a time. I mean, right? And so I didn't book the hotel. And so as soon as they decided to bang the game, I book a hotel and visit a little bit. And then I get out of there after that game and, took a little time. Walked to the car with Ron Polk last night. It's kind of a chance to get his thoughts on a few things. Get to the hotel. I said, I'm going to write up a coaching update so we didn't play. And in the middle of all of it, it's like it still hadn't rained. I mean, it's like after 10 o'clock and it still hadn't rained. We could have played. And then it rains for like 10 minutes, and it's not even hard. Like, when I get there, people are trying to sell me on there may be tornadic activity. There's going to be bowling ball-sized hail, and it's hyperbole. It's going to be rough, Steve. You need to be prepared. And already I'm thinking, do I need to go find a hotel with a parking garage to save my vehicle? You know, I love Ruby. I can't have her out there in the elements like that. And then we just get a little bit, about 10 minutes of rain. And so I don't like it, and I don't like it for all of you. And there are so many fans, obviously, that had plans to come watch the game. They were denied that opportunity. And so I tweeted out today the wind report, sponsored by Bad Meteorology. Dr. Brown would never, right? And it's so crazy. As I'm going along there, and some of our weather friends, some of our weather dogs out there are saying, hey, are you guys getting any rain? And I was like, no, we're not getting anything. And so, well, it looks like that storm system has split, and it's not even going to hit Hoover. And it didn't. And listen, I get this whole thing about erring on the side of caution. I get it, especially when you've got thousands of people in a venue and there's really nowhere to retreat to. I get it. But whoever advised them on the meteorology side, I hope they weren't Mississippi State educated. And if you were, I think maybe you need a refresher course with Dr. Brown, because I understand the weather can be unpredictable. But when you have an event this big, not to mention it changed the complexity of the tournament, you made a bad decision. You made a bad decision. And no matter how well-intended that may have been, you made a bad decision. And the fact that we were already thinking about it at 1 o'clock tells me that maybe we need to open up the possibility that you were wrong. But nevertheless, here we are. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We have loved them from the beginning. They have loved us back. It is a very faithful relationship. They do such a great job there. Every time that you put your feet under their table, you can have high expectations because they're going to be met. Great food, great pricing, great service, great atmosphere. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. It's on the menu. It is. In addition to that, find a great restaurant quality hamburger that suits your needs for that day. I got some friends of mine, every time they go, they order the same thing, and that's cool, whatever works for you. I like to branch out a little bit. I want to have a little bit of all of it, and I've eaten everything on the menu and have never come away disappointed, and I suspect you'll have a similar experience. Go by and check them out next time you're in town or on the way to town, right? You know it's true. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, our top story. Josh Hubbard back. Not unexpected. You know, he didn't get invited to the combine, so we knew, even when he declared, that we expected him back. And I don't fault him for going out there trying to find out what his stock is and get some feedback, find out what perhaps he needs to improve upon. You know, one of the things, of course, Josh, not the the largest in stature, right? That's part of the kind of the rub, yeah, especially, you know, Defending on the perimeter sometimes is tough. I mean, it is. I mean, it is what it is. But you know what a prolific scorer he is. No matter what the NBA thinks about him, we love him, and we're glad that he is coming back. One of the most prolific players in the Southeastern Conference, if not the country. And that's a great development for Coach Chris Jans, a building block, right? You already know what you kind of have coming back, which isn't a lot, but you've added some other pieces, and now all of a sudden you get Hobb back, and so you know an improved Josh Hubbard is great news for Mississippi State, and we would take him just as he was, but you and I both know how hard Hubb is going to work, and this a great development and kind of a week that Mississippi State needs some good things to happen, right? And that's one of the things visiting with State fans out in Hoover. And, you know, we in Starkville, you know, we kind of live in the big maroon bubble, right? I mean, I don't have to go to the water cooler and have to listen to it, like from opposing fans, right? I don't live that way because there just aren't any here. And the ones that are here understand to keep their mouth shut. But, yeah, so out there with you guys, like, and it's good to get out there and visit with fans from other places. It is because of the fact you get to kind of find out what they're dealing with and what their feelings are about Mississippi State athletics and the direction of things. And some of it I don't agree with. I don't. There's extremes. Right? There's some people that think everything is rotten. And there's some people who think everything is fine, and both of those segments of people are incorrect. There are some things we can and must do better. There are some things that we're doing well that we don't get credit for, right? So I kind of fall somewhere in the middle, and the difference is between many of you. Like if I have something that I'm really upset about or something that I think requires attention, I just pick up the phone and call somebody at Mississippi State and say, hey, I don't know if you knew this, but we got to fix this. Or this is what I've seen, perhaps something you guys could investigate, look into. And so all that's important to know. But, yeah, there's a lot of people out there. They're like, you know, hey, you know, Steve, we just need something to feel good about. You know, yeah, we've got the coaching search coming up. I'm a little concerned about that. You know, yeah, we made the tournament on the men's and women's side, but we didn't win games. And, of course, there's football. And it's tough to get excited about football. And give me something to feel good about, Steve. And and I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's difficult for me. And that's not me being, you know, contrarian or anything. I think the reality of it is that we need some good things to happen. And I think Josh Hubbard coming back is probably about the best news that we could have right now. Now, of course, we expect to make an NCAA regional. We'll find out on Monday where we're going, who we're playing, and we'll have full coverage of that no matter where it is. We're excited to go. And, we'll get into that a little bit later, but I don't think the current projections hold. I hope they do, but I don't think that's going to prove to be the case. And but again, looking here, Josh Hubbard, just kind of pulling a few things from the story. Josh Hubbard comment, this is nothing but exciting. I was born and raised in Mississippi, so just to come back and wear the maroon and white again means the world. I can't explain how much Mississippi State means to me. I'm so excited and ready to get back to it already. And we are too, Josh. Without any question. And as Joel T. Coleman writes, Hubbard has already racked up 1,240 points at Mississippi State. Only three other players in SEC history have scored more points with their respective teams over the course of their freshman and sophomore seasons. Take that in, right? Take that in for a second. That's pretty cool. Here's another comment from Josh. A lot of fans have been hitting me up asking what I was going to do. I know they're excited like me to come back and keep getting that excitement and support from the fans for the entire team. It's definitely going to be great. I've learned there are levels to everything. Obviously, the NBA is every collegiate player's goal, and it takes a lot of hard work to get there. Just to get the experience that I had to go through this journey definitely built my game even more for college. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity I had to put my name in a draft and learn a little bit more about myself and I can bring back with me to Mississippi State and help myself grow. Further comments. I was always given opportunities growing up in a sport that I love. In some way, I knew I was always wanted to give back because of the opportunities I was given. This is about the Josh Hubbard Showcase where he's raised money. Scholarship money. Not all kids where I come from have these opportunities. I just wanted to create a chance for others to get their names out there, whether that's nationally or just inside the state of Mississippi. I just want to help them grow and get different connections to help with their careers and whatever they do, right? And I just want fans to know that we're creating something special. I'm glad to be back. So let's all go have another year, another great, successful year. I think all of us now feel like, okay, now there is room for optimism for men's basketball. And I think there always is, as long as Chris Jans is our coach. I think everybody feels that way. It's like, hey, Jans is going to have an opportunity because he understands how to build teams quickly. And so you begin to kind of look at it. You begin to think about kind of what's next for Mississippi State. Getting Josh back is so significant because, number one, it is a proven player that loves our fans, loves the hump, loves to interact with all of you. He's a great ambassador for Mississippi State. But, not a lot returning around him, obviously. But there are some pieces that are coming back. We've added some other pieces as well, as you guys are well aware, out of the transfer portal. And, still a little work to do there in that respect. But, we've got the big dog back. And that's the way I think that we need to open the show, right, is to talk about the significance of that. And there's so many times that we need something to feel good about. If Josh had gone in a portal, that'd be one of those things. And I remember a post he put out there when he first declared that he was going to go and not sign with an agent. He was going to go declare for the draft and go through the process, but not sign with an agent to preserve his college eligibility. And one of our Bulldog fans kind of challenged him and said, hey, if you don't get it, you're going to go in the portal. And that's probably not the way to ask that, right? You shouldn't assume. And Josh says, no, if I come back, I'm going to Mississippi State. And there is a that's one of the things we love about Cam Matthews, right, is because Cam loved us back. And you get the same sense from Josh Hubbard. He loves being a Bulldog. He loves being a part of your program. He loves being the face of your program. And it's not an egotistical thing. It's not a thing where it's like, hey, I've got to be the star. It's like, hey, I want to go do something special at Mississippi State. And so one day when Josh Hubbard is done playing ball and comes back to the great state of Mississippi, one of you guys is going to hire him, right? You know it's true because you say, hey, this is a person with character. And in this day of transfer portal and NIL stuff, and that's not to say that Josh isn't being properly compensated, how many guys out there, even from our own team, have gone out there and parlayed the opportunities that we gave them to get a better deal somewhere else? And you know what? I don't begrudge it, but at the same time, too, it makes you appreciate and respect the commitment and dedication of Josh Hubbard to this university and to this fan base even more. We talk about Keyshawn Murphy. That was just one of those. It was a bad situation, and it wasn't an acrimonious deal. He had some people in his ear that said, like, hey, this is the move. He ends up at Auburn, and now we got to play him, right? And so that part of it you just hate, right? It's like, hey, this guy came in, developed his game, had the best year of his college career. We thought we had proper compensation for him. And then he likes to transfer within the conference. And so, yeah, there's a little bit of hard feelings there. I mean, that's only natural. And you know what? I don't fault anybody for bettering themselves or their situation. And as I've shared with you guys before, we have some student athletes at Mississippi State that the bulk of their NIL compensation goes back home to their families. A lot of people say, oh, these guys get all these cars and, all these great vacations. And there is some of that. There is. But there are some other people out there. And there's a young man, too, that did not choose Mississippi State in football out of the portal. And we thought he was going to. And he ultimately picked another school. There was a little bit of a surprise, I guess, to some. But, we're calling him thinking he's going to commit to Mississippi State. We're, detailing out the visit. And he just was very open about it. He goes, hey, don't put it out there yet, but I'm probably going to go to school X because I've got two parents that are struggling. I've got one that is sick. I've got to go get the best NIL deal for myself and for my family. And so by not choosing Mississippi State, it's got nothing to do with Mississippi State. It is the Southeastern Conference. Coach Lebby and his staff were outstanding. However, this school is offering me a little more money, and I hoped Mississippi State would match it, but they elected not to. And that's not to say that state got, quote, outbid. Sometimes you got to make sure that you're being good stewards of your money and getting enough juice for the squeeze. But this particular school, and it wasn't a significant amount of money, but it was when you're a person that doesn't have a whole lot of money, those things matter. And he's thinking, you know what, this makes it easier for my mom to pay the light bill. And so that's the other side of NIL that I don't think people see, right? And there's some of that on the basketball side. It's like, hey, they take care of themselves, but however, some of that money is going home. And so that's an important aspect of this, and my hope is a lot of people will consider that, that not every kid is out there just trying to get rich. There are some college kids out there that are doing what they can to help take care of their families. And that is a dynamic that I think is often lost in the discussion. Now, Josh Hubbard is not in that situation, right? Josh comes from a great family, educated. I mean, his dad's become a celebrity at the hump. It gets fired up, man. It gets me fired up when I see him get fired up, right? I know you guys feel the same way. But I feel great about this news. I know you guys do as well. But it's probably worth celebrating. And so if you are a Bulldog tonight and you enjoy a cold beverage, of the adult variety, maybe have one for your boy, because I don't. But this is worthy of your celebration. This is worthy of your attention, and certainly worthy of something to get super, super excited about. Let's just go ahead and do that. We're not going to do a player of the game, but we're going to do Close the Blair as our intro as we do our game breakdown, right? Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. Phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair is the name to know. This is one of these life hacks that people talk about, right? Because a lot of people are going to be vying for your business, and when you get ready to go buy a house, you have no idea how this process is going to work, right? You just go out there and you think, hey, I want to get a real estate agent. And then you got to arrange your own financing. And you know, sometimes they can make a recommendation. Sometimes they can't. Allow me to save you some time and trouble. Don't overthink it. Stick with the winners. Stick with a winner like Blair Chandler. Again, 24 years in the industry. Works at Priority One Mortgage. He has closed multiple Boneyard loans over the years. And about, you know, once a month or so, once every couple months, I get a text from Blair and said, hey, I just closed a Boneyard loan, or we got a Boneyard loan closing this weekend. There's always something. And so the reviews have been fantastic. I've had many people reach out and say, hey, Steve, can I get, what's a mortgage guy's name and number? What's Blair Chandler? Again, 601-500-2344. So if you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Be sure and check that out. Okay, let's go back over the game. It's not going to be fun, but let's go back over the game from this morning just so we can kind of move on, right? And I even considered doing the show on Thursday, and I was like, nope, I got time to do it. Let's get it done today, and then we'll wake up fresh Thursday and work on some other things. There's plenty of things to worry and work on right now. We got coaching search stuff. We got to forecast what we think is going to happen with the committee when it comes to selection and placement of Mississippi State. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Somebody hit me up the other day and said, Steve, I enjoyed the way that you kind of explained all of this with what the committee is looking for. And I had fun writing that article, but I got some resources. I reach out and I use them to all of our benefit. But the Bulldogs lose 9-0 today, and young Ryan McPherson, of course, paired up with Ryan Prager, who cost us David Mershon, just so you guys know. If he signs with the Angels, David Mershon is back in maroon and white. But because Prager didn't sign, the surplus that was left in the salary pool went to David Mershon, which allowed him to get pretty close to his requested number. And so he signs with the Angels. And listen, Dave wanted to sign, right? But Dave didn't get drafted high enough that, that he wasn't going to sign for peanuts. And, but nevertheless, that's who threw today. And Prager's had a tough year, and his velo's down a little bit, and I thought maybe we could get him. I got a call last night that said it was going to be Prager. It was initially supposed to be Weston Moss. But Prager wanted the ball. It's like, hey, they're pushing the game back a day. I want the ball. And he stepped up and did a good job. But Ryan McPherson, in the first inning, I thought was outstanding. And then the second inning, you know, defense let him down, as you guys know. But, yeah, there's a lot of veterans in the top half of this Texas A&M lineup. I mean, Caden Kent, of course, the son of Jeff Kent, feel like he's been around forever. It seems like the Caden's been playing at A&M since Jeff was playing for the Mets. But, yeah, but Caden goes down swinging. Laviolette goes out looking. Lengthy at bat there, and I thought it was significant. That's a big confidence builder for a young guy like Ryan McPherson. Hands were doubles to left, and I'll be honest with you, if the wind's not blowing in from left, that ball's probably out of there. And then he gets cash to go down swinging on three pitches. And so, hey, it's good to see the young guy kind of bow his back a little bit, and we're not going to yield. And I thought offensively we came out with a good approach here. Garrick Fry gets down in the count 1-2, and this kind of throws his hands at it. You know, it's like he's looking fastball, but he gets the breaker. And rather than take it and hope it's not a strike, he's strong enough to just kind of throw the bat head out there and push that ball into left. Really good job of hitting there. And then Reeves comes in and immediately sacrifices him to second. So you think, hey, we got 3-4 behind us. You know, we get a base hit here. We score a run, have an early lead, maybe settle things down a little bit. And then Reese goes down looking. He didn't like the call. I thought it was the right call. Sullivan's been hit by the pitch. Now you got runners at first and second. Hines comes up, and again, it's a lefty-lefty matchup. And Hines pops up to the second baseman. So that ends the threat. But I felt like, okay, maybe Prager's not on his game right here. Maybe Prager's going to be like he was a couple weekends ago. It's just, you know, one of those things. Or last weekend, pardon me. Maybe there's some season fatigue, and we can take advantage. But yeah, after the first inning, I felt better about Mississippi State's prospects than I did Texas A&M. You know, we're putting some balls in play, right? I mean, they had one hit, we had one hit, but I just felt in the first inning McPherson was sharper than Prager. We get to the second here, and we shoot ourselves in the foot. And we are a team at times, even I'm not going to be self-loathing because we've played really well the last month, but there have been times this year we shoot ourselves in the foot and just kind of keep reloading the gun. That's kind of how this one felt. You get a fly ball to right field. I wouldn't.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Call it a routine play, but it's certainly a play you got to make. And then Stallman falls down and nearly makes the catch on his back, and then the ball rolls loose. They rule it a double. Guys, it's not a double. Okay, that's an error, okay? That's an error. And people would say, some of you sticklers would say, well, you know, he tripped on the apron near the track. Guys, he's got to make that play, right? That is a routine play, period. He didn't make it. It's a double. And then we get a ground ball to the left side, to the right side, but it's Gat Sanders left. And I've seen Gat make that play, what, 50 times this year? And he just doesn't get down deep enough, and the ball gets through. So Ryan McPherson, instead of having 2 outs, and he should have had 2 outs here, has 2 men on base and nobody out. And then Royo singles to left field. And you got to, there's probably a little frustration there, right? And then we walk Keel on 4 pitches. I mean, this is a guy that's hitting 8th for a reason. He's got some speed. But, you walk the run in here. We get far to pop up the second, right? And so you get a non-productive out, and now you're one pitch away. You're thinking, okay, maybe we can get out of this thing. We get Kent, who looked really awkward that first at bat. We're at a 2-2 count, and guess what? We plunk him. Run scores, 2-0. And then Laviolette, who had been 0-for-17 going into this at bat, hits a grand slam, makes it 6-0. It got late early at the Hoover Met for Mississippi State. Hensler then lines out the third, Cash walks, Harrison singles to left field, his second time to bat in the inning, gets two hits in the inning. And then that's it. We bring in Big Ben Davis, and he gets a ground out the second. But it's a 6-0 ball game, and yet you're telling yourself, yes, Ron Prager's on the mound. Their bullpen has been rather leaky. We just got to kind of – we got to get a hold here, and we got to chip away. We didn't do either one, right? And so Chance grounds out to the short, and actually a pretty good at-bat by Bryce there. And then it's deep in the count. And this, and again, in the first, I thought Prager wasn't really on his game. In the second, it was even worse. He goes full count on Bryce. We end up getting a hard hit ball to short, get an out. Stallman, full count, gets a walk. Powell, full count, and then on a 3-1 count, let me back up. Yeah, 3-1 count here. I don't know if Joe was just fooled by the pitch. I don't think he was. I think he'd kind of had a predetermined motivation that I'm going to swing and try to make something happen here. And he swings at a breaking ball that really wasn't even a competitive pitch. Fouls the ball off and then goes down swinging. And then Sanders, Gatt lines out to short there. And so, you know, three deep counts. And again, you're thinking maybe Prager's just not on his game today. And from this point forward, he was outstanding. You know, it took him maybe two innings. And I thought maybe with that elongated top of the second, maybe him sitting for a while affected his command and control a little bit. But it's 6-0 here, and now we've made it through the order and just have the one hit there. I thought the offense really let us down. Defense hurt us in the second, but the offense really let us down today. All right, top of third, Ben Davis gives up the single to Royo. That's the second one. It was a bunt. And then it's crazy. The ball gets loose. Runner takes second. And then Keel, it works like a bunt. You know, it's a little nubber out towards third, and Ace gets there. Just no play to be made. So now you've got runners on the corners. And this is your 7-8 hitters. So this isn't, you know, Laviolette and, you know, Grahovic and people like that of last year. You know, this is the bottom third of the order kind of starting the rally for the second time, really. And so runners on the corners, and then Keel still second, and you know what's going to happen. So you got runners at second and third. Farr grounds out to first. However, the run scores. It's 7-0, and then Kent flies out to center field. It's an RBI sack fly, makes it 8-0. Laviolette walks, and then Hensler pops up to the pitcher. That happened very often, but he was the only one that could catch it. It was such a soft pop-up. But it's an 8-0 ball game, and you want to think, right, the old coach in me is thinking, okay, all right, it's only the third inning. You know, it's only the third inning. We got to get something going here. We need to go get a crooked number, but at the very least, we got to get on the board. We don't. We go 1-2-3. Fry grounds out, Reeves grounds out, Reese grounds out, and all of them hit the ball hard. But give Prager some credit for getting under barrels there. Top of four, Ben Davis, good job here. He gets a 1-2-3 inning, gets a ground out from Cash. Harrison flies out to center, and then Schott flies out to center. And with that wind blowing in, those balls were 25, 30, maybe even 40 feet from the track. And some of their people, off the bat, their people are just yelping and you know, come on, give me a break, man. You're not hitting that ball out in the Hoover Met with that wind blowing in at about 17 miles an hour. It was, I guess it was 7 miles per hour in from left with gust up to 17. You're not poking that ball out to left or center. Bottom of four, Noah Sullivan gets us started, just kind of slaps one back up the middle for a single. And you're thinking, okay, if we can get a couple of runs here, get a crooked number, give us some confidence, get the leadoff guy on, we do. Heinzen flies out to right, Chance flies out to right, Stallman goes down swinging on three pitches, and all three of them were swinging strikes. At this point, I felt like, you know what, if we don't get Prager out of the game soon, we're going to get mercy ruled because we're not going to score against him. Top of five, Roya pops up. And again, this is the same little group, and this time Ben Davis handles them pretty well. Roya pops up to the shortstop. Keel goes down swinging. Farr singles down the right field line. And great job by Hunter Hines here just on the effort, right? I mean, it's just one of those things that kind of happens. But he singles down the right field. It's a different play. But nevertheless, single to right field. We bring in Dane Burns, and he rolls up a first pitch ground out to Caden Kent. So we get out of it. So, you know, again, back-to-back innings, State's posting zeros on the scoreboard on the pitching side of things. We just need the offense to kind of give us a chance. Well, guess what? We get the leadoff runner on again. Joe Powell walks deep into a count and gets ahead in the count, 2-1, and then fouls the ball off, takes the ball, fouls one off. Very selective here. Leadoff runner's on. Gatt goes down swinging. Fry grounds out to second, and Powell takes second on the play. There just wasn't – the only play was to first. And then Reeves goes down looking and did not like the call. And here, one of the things I'll tell you, I'd love to see the TrackMan data. It did not impact the score of this ballgame. No way. That's not what we lost. I thought the zone was interesting today. And I'd love to see the TrackMan data because there are two players that rarely ever complain about calls. And that's Bryce Chance and Sawyer Reeves. Sometimes Ace will kind of hang his head in dejection. Hunter will say some things at times. Garrick Fry will say some things. Noah Sullivan will certainly say some things. But when Bryce Chance and Sawyer Reeves are kind of chirping about calls, it kind of raises my eyebrow a little bit because those guys are so usually so well composed. You don't see them show emotion over calls. They did today. And again, that's not why we lost. In no way whatsoever am I saying that. But yeah, I would be interested to see the TrackMan data on this particular official. All right, top of six, Ross Highfield comes into the game in place of Reed Stallman. And again, we're just kind of rolling along here. Dad, I thought Dane Burns was good today. Laviolette grounds out to second. Hensler grounds to short. Cassius walked. Lengthy at bat there. But then we get Harrison to strike out swinging. And I thought Dane really, really was in command today and looked very composed on the mound. And we're going to need him down the stretch. All right, bottom of six. And again, it feels like, again, there's still some ball game left. The lead feels almost insurmountable. But if you get a few things cooking here and get into that bullpen, who knows what could happen? Reese singles up the middle, and then Sullivan singles to left field. And good job of hitting there. Hines goes down swinging, and that's it for Prager. They bring in Clayton Freshcorn, who ran out to No More Tears from Ozzy Osbourne. I've never known a Freshcorn in my life. Saw him pitch last week, or 2 weekends ago, in the Sunday game against Missouri. And he was good for a while. And then next thing you know, they make a couple mistakes and kind of gets away from him. But I've never known a Freshcorn. Maybe you know a lot of Freshcorns. I don't know any. That's an interesting name. He gets a chance to fly out to right. Highfield then fouls out to the first baseman. A lot of pop-ups for both teams today, too. Top of seven. Shot grounds out to second. Royo pops up to third. And then Keel doubles down the right field line. This is the play that I was remembering. He's a right-handed hitter, and he is behind the fastball, but he hits it with enough pace. Hunter Hines has to dive back to his left. Can't make the play. Appreciate the effort. Ends up being a double. Farden singles to left, and Keel comes around to score to make it 9-0, which actually caps the scoring. But 7-8-9 had a pretty good game against us today. And that's kind of been the book on A&M. There's not a lot of length in this order, but they got some production today. Farr still second, and then Kent strikes out swinging. Some people may not like the stolen base there. I don't mind it at all because I understand that Michael Early is trying to get the game over. Right, it's a 9-0 ball game. The chances of a comeback in the final two innings, not very good. Of course, State still has a bat in the bottom of seven, but you're trying to get the game over. You get him to second, you get a base hit from the top of the order. It's 10-0. You get three outs, bottom of seven, the game is over. I got no qualm or beef with Michael Early and those guys stealing second base here because I would have done the same thing. Bottom of seven. A familiar refrain, Bulldogs go 1-2-3. Powell strikes out looking. Sanders grounds out to second, and then Fry grounds out to first after a lengthy at-bat. And I really thought Fry kind of had Freshcorn measured up here. Just, fouling balls off. I didn't think Freshcorn could finish him. And then, we just didn't get enough of the barrel on the ball there. But top of eight, Dottie comes in. I thought Luke Dotson looked great. Great. Bullpen, for the most part, looked really good today, if there is a silver lining in all of this. because you're setting up arms for the regional now. But he gets Laviolette to strike out swinging. That's a big win for Luke Dodson. It really is. It's a lefty on lefty matchup, but it's more because, you know, Dottie is not the he's not Zach Neff, right? He's not the guy that's going to start that slider on your hip and it ends up in the other batter's box. You know, Neff had that real big sweeper. Dottie is not that guy. Dottie's a guy that'll come right at you, and that's a big win. I mean, to get Laviolette to strike out swinging, that's a money AB, and I thought Laviolette just simply got beat throughout the at-bat. Hensler then strikes out looking, and then Cash pops up to the shortstop. So very productive inning from Dottie here. Bottom of eight, they bring in Rudas in place of Freshcorn, which I hate to see. Now that I know Freshcorn, I know he's an Ozzy Osbourne fan, I'm kind of a fan. Reeves fouls out to the first baseman. Reason singles to left field, his second hit of the game. Sullen pops up to third. Hines grounds out to second. So, again, a hit in the ball in the inning, but we do nothing with it. Top of nine. Charlie Foster comes in. His second appearance since returning from injury. And, again, he looked really good. And so if there is anything that you can draw optimism from is the fact that, hey, in Hoover, we got some of these young guys, some postseason work. And then – that should carry over to the regional. I mean, Charlie could be the fourth starter in a regional. Hopefully we don't need one. Hopefully we can win a regional in three games. But Foster is a guy that's super talented. Harrison strikes out swinging. They pinch hit Bender up. Another interesting name, Bender up. He pinch hits for Hayden Schott. He strikes out swinging on three pitches. Charlie just absolutely carved him up. And Arroyo pops up to the second baseman. So very, very effective inning. And again, you just go back and look, and we'll talk about that when we finish up our recap here, how good the bullpen did down the stretch. Offense just didn't show up. Defense put us in a hole, and the offense couldn't dig us out of it, even when the bullpen was throwing up zeros. Bottom of nine, Chance singles back up the middle, and then Heifel grounds into the double play. Powell walks, and I commend the umpire there for at least, you know, maintaining some semblance of strike zone. If he had just rung Joe up at some point here, nobody would have minded. I mean, honest to goodness. It's a 9-0 ball game in the ninth with two outs. If you ring us up, we'll be disappointed for a few seconds. But, you know, we got to stay on schedule. And then Spalletta pinch hits for Sanders and flies out center field. That's your ball game, 9-0. And running back through the numbers here, you know, wasn't a lot to cheer about on the offensive side. And, you know, you give Ron Prager some credit. But here's the thing that I say about that. I am not a real big tip of the cap guy, right? I'll tip my cap to my friends in low places. But we are Mississippi State, right? We play in the same league. We are the program over the years. When you think about, you know, the years, especially the Polk years, we are the kind of place where your ERA comes to climb. Right, we hit elite pitching. And I had a young fan make a comment yesterday. He goes, you know, we just can't seem to hit, like, top five pitching. And I said, well, really nobody can. That's why it's top five pitching. But that understood, you know, for us to get six hits against this team, Prager had been struggling some this year. And granted, I know he wanted a baseball. And that bullpen's been kind of leaky. And this is a staff that Missouri knocked all over the yard. And you guys know. And goodness, Missouri almost won the game on Tuesday. But nevertheless, disappointed with our offense. And it has kind of been an outlier because we have hit the ball so well lately. And so, listen, I don't just mean Missouri. The last month, we have been very good at the plate. We were not today. And maybe Prager just had a great day. But that bullpen looked a lot better than the numbers indicate. And I think there was some give up on us today. I think after about the middle of this ball game, I thought we took some selfish swings. Not a lot, but we took some selfish swings. And you're not going to poke that ball out of there with that wind blowing in from left. Not going to happen. But, again, kind of looking back at all this, you know, Mississippi State, just six hits in the ball game. Garrick Frye, one of them. Ace Reese, Noah Sullivan, two apiece. Bryce Chance with one. I got some clarification today on Noah Sullivan, and I don't know why yet. And we'll try to get some other information. Noah Sullivan has a year of eligibility left. He played 3 years at USC Upstate. I don't know why that is. I don't know how he has a year of eligibility left, but he does. And it looks like Reed Stallman might have a year of eligibility left as well. So we'll get further clarification on that. But when you begin to kind of think about next year and what you may be losing. And I think State will hang on to Ace Reese. It may be expensive, but he is the face of our program. But you think about Garrick Frey, if he doesn't get drafted, that's a nice piece to have back. And then Ace Reese, of course. And if you get Noah Sullivan back, and you think about Stallman, I think Stallman, you bring him back and put him as your first baseman, which is what you recruited him to be. And then Hunter Hines doesn't get drafted, and so he returns. And so Stallman goes to the outfield. But Stallman is a first baseman by trade. And so you start thinking about if those things work out the way you hope, you're going to return some pretty significant pieces there. The final hit of the day from the Bulldogs, of course, came from Bryce Chance. But looking at this Bulldog pitching effort, McPherson, defense let him down. There's no denying that. And I think he got a little bit flustered. But 1 2/3 of an inning, 5 hits, 6 runs, 5 of them earned. And they did not charge Stallman with the error they should have. 3 strikeouts, a couple of walks, and a hit by pitch, all within that just come apart inning. And we hadn't had one of those in a while. But we did 2 errors in the inning, even though they only scored one. And then you have the 2 walks and the hit by pitch. It just, you know, those things happen. Ben Davis comes in, gives you 3 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, only 1 of them earned. Because you have the error on the bunt there. I think he's going to beat it either way. But all that understood, Ben Davis, pretty solid. And then Dane Burns goes 2 1/3, 2 hits, 1 run. And then Dottie throws up a 0, and Foster throws up a 0. So, again, I think you've got some arms that you can count on in the postseason. Getting some guys back, that kind of helps the composition of your bullpen. Asked specifically about Chase Hungate, Justin Parker said just not sure yet. Just not sure yet. You know, I was told when he went down in that ball game that it was probably looking at a couple of weeks. Well, it's been a month. But it'd be nice to have him for the postseason. But that's your ball game. And now the Bulldogs wait to find out where they're going. We'll have some thoughts on that later in the show. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's right, CalidoGuitars.com, a company in Lake Jackson, Texas, owned and operated by true Mississippi State Bulldogs. I think we should keep business in the family whenever we can. I think it's important. I do. I think we should support each other. That's how I see all of that stuff. And so if you're a small business owner and you're a Bulldog, hey, let me know. You know, we'll do what we can to help take care of you too. But when we travel, that's one of the things that I do is I reach out to other Mississippi State people to get recommendations. And so when we have a chance to support each other, we always could now, and we should, because the reality of it is it's easy, you know, to go to Guitar Center. It's easy to go to Amazon. But here's the thing. You're supporting the Bulldog, but you're also supporting Mississippi State in the process. You can get the same products at a discount from our friends at Kalido Guitars. Promo code BSR, you know what that stands for. You know, 10% off your purchase, free shipping, and no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas and you're familiar with that policy. In addition to that, they will make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. You're helping the guitar player in your family or yourself. I don't know, maybe you're a guitar player, whether you're looking for an acoustic guitar, an electric guitar, a classic guitar, or any of the trimmings. Maybe you need some accessories, need a new guitar case, a gig bag, whatever you need, you can find it at Kalido Guitars. Excellent service before, during, and after the sale. And you can't say that when you just go buy something online from somebody else, some nameless, faceless company. These are Bulldogs. They're invested in you. They're invested in Mississippi State. So visit KalidoGuitars.com today or stop by their showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, and let them outfit you or your player with the latest in guitar gear. Kalido Guitars. All right, so Roy, we called an audible. I had something else planned, but Roy went and saw this band that he's excited about and wanted to promote them. You know, we do that here. We love to celebrate music, but the band is called Treaty Oak Revival, and it's interesting. You know, Roy is kind of the jam band, kind of eclectic guy. He's a little different. He's my friend, but he's a little different, and I'm a little different too. But his music taste is a little bit off the beaten path, but he really likes this band, and if you're a person that kind of likes maybe that Texas Roadhouse type music, this may be the band for you. Kind of got a country twang to it, but they do have some guitar. And so I thought, hey, let's give it a shot. I checked out some of these songs, and so we're going to give it a whirl. And it's Treaty Oak Revival. Treaty Oak Revival. The list is already available. The 10 songs run about 38 minutes, so you can kind of get through them pretty quick here. But assuming that I have the list in order, and I've listened to most of these, not all of these. These are Roy's selections. So if he got it wrong, you can blame Roy Samanti, and he will hear your complaints, and you can air them on X at Dogmatic67. And, of course, if you just subscribe to his Spotify channel, too, our great list will just kind of show up for you. And we love being able to turn you on to new music. So here we go. Wrong Place, Wrong Time, that's your number 10 track. Number 9 is Have a Nice Day. Wasn't that sweet? Yeah, that's great. It's not a Bon Jovi cover either. Number 8, Stop and Stare. That's a pretty good one, if I must admit. Number 7 on our list is I'm the Worst. Now, I'm not a self-loather. I don't think I've ever been the worst. But that's maybe for that self-loathing segment of our fan base. Maybe this is the song that that exemplifies you. Number 6, Irish Goodbye. I'm a big fan of the Irish Goodbye. Are you familiar with the term Irish Goodbye? You like to go to a party, and then I just leave. You know, the Irish exit is what some people call it. You know, I don't feel the need to go by and say goodbye to everybody. I do a few, usually our hosts. But I'll show up, and as the song says, I'm here for a good time, not here for a long time. That's true. Fishnets. Big fan of those. Huge fan of Fishnets. But I don't know. I haven't listened to this one. I don't know if he's talking about the hosiery or the fishing equipment. I kind of have a feeling it might be both. Number 4, An Ode to Bourbon. And that's a pretty good one, too. And Roy likes it, too, which is why it's number 4. I've never been a big bourbon drinker, to be honest with you. I don't drink anymore. But when I did, I didn't drink a lot of whiskey. I just didn't. It wasn't my thing. But when I did drink it, I kind of mixed it with some Coke or something. And you know, you can call me soft or whatever. But I've been known to take a shot of Jack Daniels every once in a while back in the day. And I don't really miss that, to be honest with you. Number 3 is In Between. That's one of the catchier songs on the list. I think that's the song you'll have some fun with. And then number 2 is No Vacancy. That's not the band from School of Rock that won the Battle of Bands. That's not them. It's not an ode to them. But it's an interesting song. And then number 1 is Missed Call. Missed Call, number 1 from Treaty Oak Revival. And we share these things with you in hopes that you will have some fun with them and they will bring some joy to your life. And Roy sometimes gets very impassioned about some of these lists and says, hey, this is a band you got to do. And we do it. But we have a lot of fun with it. And so if you have an idea for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on X. Again, Roy available at Dogmatic67. I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Even when the new social media app opens, I go and grab it just in case it becomes something because I don't want somebody impersonating me. It may sound a little bit paranoid, but it's true. So I jump on that. And I'm so appreciative for Roy. Roy is my friend, and I did not know Roy. And he reached out many years ago and said, hey, I'd like to put these top 10 lists on Spotify. I'm not a Spotify guy. Maybe you are. I'm an iTunes person. But I was like, hey, knock yourself out. He goes, I'll do it for free. And he has been very diligent. At times he gets behind. We do get caught up, and we share those lists with you. But we enjoy sharing new music with you. Still getting some great reviews from some of you about the new Sleep Token album. And I love the fact, too, for many of you, it's the first time, right? I would encourage you, again, go back and listen to some of the other catalog. The earlier stuff is heavier, to be honest with you. But I do like the fact that they're kind of that genre-bending type artist, a lot of classic piano. There's some auto-tune vocals and things like that. But it's a band, and many of you are like, you know what, Steve, I've kind of been looking for something fresh. I dig this. And, of course, the fact that they went to number 1 on the Billboard 200 is pretty cool, too. But you were a part of that. Those of you that went and listened to that, you were a part of that. You downloaded it. I think they sold 175,000 units the first week, which is big numbers in this day and time when it comes to music. But, yeah, we enjoy your request. And we get most of the requests we get, we've already done. But as you guys have noticed, when something new happens or a band releases a new album, we'll do a revisited list and kind of update that. But it is super cool that we have some interaction and we kind of bond over music. I've got some baseball parents that told me that they listen to the Boneyard and then they listen to the top 10 list as they travel. You know, we're all trying to get through those miles markers as quickly as we can. And we try to be just kind of a good news, interesting show. I mean, we'll tell you how it is, but you know, I'm not the kind of person that tries to be some agent provocateur. I think I'm a talented enough writer and podcaster that I don't have to do those sorts of things to be this alarmist or, you know, to kind of, you know, take shots at other people and things like that. That's not what I want to do, right? That's just not how I want to be known. Now, I've never been one to run from a tussle, you know what I'm saying? But that's, I think there's a better use of my time and your time than that. And there, every so often somebody will send me something. It's like, hey, somebody tweeted this about you, or they posted this about you, or they said this about you. And let me make sure that I'm abundantly clear with this. I absolutely do not care. It means absolutely nothing to me. Nothing to me. I quit living my life for people a long, long time ago. And yeah, everybody wants to be liked. I mean, sure. But the reality of it is I've accepted the fact that that's not going to be the case. And the longer you live, the more you understand that. You know, and my thing about that, too, is, you know, the person that posts those things anonymously, or, you know, are they doing behind your back? You don't have to worry about those people, right? You just don't. I have more respect for those people that are willing to say it to your face. And one of the things that I have learned about life, I'm a fan of the uncomfortable conversation because they're really not uncomfortable for me, right? And, you know, I had the opportunity here, you know, some time ago to sit down with somebody that has had a beef with me for a long time. And I was like, I just want you to say whatever is on your mind without fear of reprisal. And part of that is because I'm trying to help unburden somebody to better a situation. You understand what I'm saying? And like, and if they have to say some things that may some people consider unpleasant, that's fine. Because it's more important to me to have peace than to have beef. You know, I'm not going to live my life in this perpetual state of acrimony. You know, it's just not important to me. You know, what do you win? You know, and that's one of the things that you know, it's so interesting to me. I got some people that that's how they get engagement. You know, they take some shot at me or whatever, and I guess they just need a friend. You know, well, have a Coke and a smile because it's not bothering me. You know, in order for your opinion to have to impact me, I'd have to value your opinion. And so when people out there are doing things anonymously or behind my back, or whatever, just to curry favor with somebody else, just to be able to kind of get some attention to themselves. And it's like, well, I'm sure he'll find out about this. And sometimes I do. And I can assure you that the dirt on the bottom of my Timberlands means more to me than that sort of stuff. It just simply is not important. It's just not important. And so I'm just not going to get on here and waste my time and your valuable time talking about things that are unimportant. Yeah, and what we deal with is sports and music and kind of what's going on in Starkville. And some people would say, well, the whole show is kind of, you know, about things that maybe aren't as important, but they're important to our listeners. But now I can assure you that, you know, somebody says, hey, well, somebody said this. Well, you know, good for them. You know, they can come say it to my face. And I'm happy to have a discussion with them. But I'm not going to get up in arms and be concerned and sit around and in a state of worry because somebody doesn't like me. I don't like everybody either. I just don't go out there and make these public comments or make public posts about that sort of stuff. If I've got beef with you, you can rest assured. If I'm concerned enough to repair the relationship, I will. If I don't repair the relationship, then the relationship doesn't mean anything to me. That's just how life works. I got a lot of friends. I got even a bunch of acquaintances, too. And as I wrote recently, I know a lot of people that could raise a fuss. I could raise an army. But what do you win? You know, and there are some people that have been working against me and our business for their entire careers. And the question that I would have is, what has that gotten you? What have you accomplished by doing that? I'm not a person that believes that I have to diminish my competition in order to feel better about myself. And we don't really tolerate that type of behavior on our website. We just don't. You know, somebody says, hey, well, so-and-so's trash. Well, you know, go tell them. Okay, we're here to discuss Mississippi State sports, and that's what I want to do. I just want to cover Mississippi State better than anybody has ever covered Mississippi State and give you guys the coverage that you deserve. That's my goal. And if other people have a problem with that, that is a them problem. It is not a me problem. All right, next segment of the show, brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart because they have what we want. That's Mississippi State merchandise. Nobody does it better than Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job. Absolutely amazing job. Finding new and fresh things that you're going to love. Go by and see their smiling faces next time you're in town. You'll be glad you did. Get some new gear, some new apparel, some things to detail out your fan cave. There's just so much that you can do. And, you know, you think, hey, I want to win the lottery so I can go in there and just kind of buy out Campus Bookmart. And, you know, maybe you will. But rather than give your business to some, you know, online company that doesn't have any connection to Mississippi State, I'm going to advise you not to do that. I'm going to advise you to support a great Starkville business, a Starkville institution, Campus Bookmart. And if you can't make it to town, we'd still love for you to support a Starkville business. Visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Below Your Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Again, that's Campus Bookmart. Okay. Let's take a quick look at the SEC tournament bracket. And I'm going to kind of tell you, you know, what I think has happened and how it impacts us and maybe perhaps the selections of the conference. And it's so interesting, too, the way this thing is kind of carving itself out. That I think we certainly have 12 teams in a tournament. I think Kentucky could be 13. I think them losing yesterday was very significant. But you never know what else is going to happen around the country. Like Boston College beat Notre Dame last night. Notre Dame, a bubble team. Maybe that opens up a pathway for Kentucky. Maybe. But Alabama beats Missouri in that first game. And, guys, if you listen to that game or watch that game, you know as well as I do, Missouri came to play. They really did. Horn comes out there, has the five walks. He pitched pretty well, but kind of struggled to command some things. They bring in Liebert afterwards and really did his job. But, man, Missouri had so many things kind of go against them. They strand two in the seventh, two in the eighth, and three in the ninth. And give Will Hodo, Mississippi native Will Hodo, first baseman in Alabama, some credit. He makes an error that loads the bases. You know, he throws the ball to second, hits a runner in the back. Bases loaded. And then the next hitter up just absolutely hits an absolute seed that seems to be destined for right field. Hodo lays out full extension and makes the catch for the second out. If that ball gets through, a couple runs are going to score. It's 4-3, and you've got at least runners on the corners with less than two outs. A routine sack fly ties the game. That's how significant that play was. And, you know, they pitched some bullpen arms to win that game. But nevertheless, Alabama eliminates Missouri. I had a chance to speak to Kerrick Jackson and Jackson Lovich after the game as I got there. And, you know, big fan of Jackson Lovich. And I told him, and I'm not going to tell you everything I told him because that kind of stuff is private. But I let him know how impressed and how much respect I had for him for playing as hard as he did on a team that was really challenged this year. It was a difficult year for the team, but he went out there and played with dignity and respect for the game, and I think that will serve him well in the draft. Those things, I think, are important. Those are good messages for us to share. And so, of course, Alabama advances to play Tennessee. We'll skip down before we get to that, our day two coverage. Oklahoma and Kentucky. I told you guys I felt like Kentucky was a bubble team. We really, you know, we've got three wins over Kentucky and one win over Oklahoma. I really want Kentucky to get in because I think maybe that keeps us east of the Mississippi, because there's going to be some teams in the SEC that have to go west. So if Kentucky gets in, it's probably Oklahoma and Kentucky. If Kentucky doesn't get in, it perhaps is Mississippi State and Oklahoma. But Oklahoma wins the game and eliminates Kentucky, and then Oklahoma advances. Florida and South Carolina, it really wasn't much of a game, as you guys are well aware. It was not a game that really mattered. And a lot of discussion about, you know, South Carolina, they're going to keep Paul Maneri. But I had somebody tell me this thing may not be over, because we're expecting pretty much a mass exodus out of Columbia when the transfer portal opens. There are going to be a lot of players leave that team. And you got to begin to wonder then, you know, does Paul Maneri just say, hey, you know, maybe this isn't going to work out? I don't know. Because they don't have the money to go out. They have not allocated enough resources to go out there and procure a new roster. And so then you're looking at another year kind of similar to this. And I don't know that anybody is prepared for that. Of course, Mississippi State and Texas A&M get postponed until this morning. You already know all about that game. But, yeah, it's been interesting. Alabama and Tennessee, that game was ongoing as I left. And give Alabama some credit for not giving up. But it's so interesting how a game can change. It felt like Tennessee was just in control here. And after four innings of play, it's 5-1. And then, lo and behold, Tennessee a chance to get off the field. The second baseman throws the ball to first before he's even set up. And next thing you know, the floodgates open. Alabama puts up a five spot to take a 6-5 lead. Tennessee comes back and ties it in the bottom of five. And I'm thinking, man, Alabama, you know, great RPI. They beat Tennessee. And again, I think Tennessee is a tough hosting opportunity, losing five series in a row. They make a run in this tournament. People may rethink it. But I thought, hey, this may, again, make the situation a little easier for the committee to kind of figure out who's the last hosting spot for the SEC. And I think, I don't know that Tennessee beating Alabama helps that, because Tennessee does go on to win 15-10. Alabama with four runs there in the ninth to make it a little more interesting. And Richie Bonomalo had that big hit to give Alabama the lead with two outs. Slapped a double into left center. I thought that ball was going to get all the way to the wall. And that drives in two runs. But nevertheless, Tennessee wins the game as we're recording right now. And this game may go final before we're done. Oklahoma on the verge of eliminating Georgia. It is a 3-2 ball game in the ninth. Oklahoma is still hitting right now. And again, what is it about this Georgia offense that doesn't play well on the road? I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it is something that is worth discussion. Georgia offense simply doesn't travel. And, of course, you've got the big ballpark at Hoover. And so a ball that's out at Foley, and their big slogan these days is feed the trees. Are you familiar with that? Do you remember that band Belly from the 90s? You get your hands up, boy, as I feed the tree. That's what it reminds me of. But Georgia gets up 1-0. Oklahoma ties it there in the fourth, and then two big runs there in the sixth that allowed a little separation for Oklahoma. And Kyson Witherspoon goes 7 2/3 of an inning in this ballgame. And, you know, Kyson, without a doubt, one of the best pitchers in the Southeastern Conference, and we on a win against him. Georgia scores 1 in the 8th, and we'll see what happens here in the bottom of 9. If this game ends before we get done, and I don't suspect that it will, we'll update you. But the nightcap, a game that many of you are excited to see, is Florida versus Ole Miss. I think this is a loser-leaves-town match in more ways than one. Obviously, the loser is eliminated from the SEC tournament, but I think the loser is also eliminated from the hosting discussion. There are some people that think Ole Miss is going to host. I'm not so sure. I don't believe so right now. Should they beat Florida, who may be the second hottest team in the country, but certainly the hottest in the conference. Southern Miss playing exceptionally well right now. A lot of belief in that team, and there's a lot of people to think Southern Miss may host. We're going to talk about some of that stuff in the final segment of the show. But we'll watch that game and eat some dinner tonight and watch Florida and Ole Miss play, because I love it. I mean, I love being in Hoover And I hated having to leave when I did. Of course, the wife would have been perfectly okay with me staying tonight, watching all the night's games, watching tomorrow's games. But we've got so much going on. And again, I may have to take a trip out west next week. So there's some things around here I got to do in order to stay married. It's not never that tenuous, but you understand my point. You don't want to leave everything to her. So we'll enjoy watching that game together tonight. And then, again, you kind of look ahead to tomorrow. And again, some games still kind of, you know, being determined. So the schedule tomorrow that we know of now, the 11 a.m. game, Texas A&M versus Auburn, and then Tennessee versus Texas. And so then, we'll see how things go. You know, Vanderbilt awaits the winner of game six. And so just to kind of make sure that we're in a good spot here. I don't know what side of the box score that is. Let me look real quick. Let me just look at the bracket. There's no point in us speculating when the bracket is right there available for us. Yeah, Vanderbilt will play the winner of Oklahoma, Georgia. And then Arkansas plays the winner of Florida, Ole Miss. So a couple big games coming up that could be very important. And then Texas A&M and Auburn, the winner of that game, tomorrow will advance to play LSU on Friday. So, interesting. We got baseball. That's one thing tomorrow that I look forward to doing, even though I would love to be in Hoover, is we'll get up and write a couple things, and then we'll watch college baseball much of the day. And I love watching other teams. And that's what my wife told me today when I got everything done. She goes, well, now you can just kind of enjoy some baseball. And Alabama and Tennessee were playing, and I was like, yeah, this is a game I really want to see. And then I decided I want to get out of there and beat the traffic and get back and get this show up before it gets too late for you guys. But many of you, of course, will be listening on Thursday. So some of these games will be final by then, and you'll already know. But it's a great time in Hoover. If you've never been, let me encourage you to go. Okay, and one of the things that I love about Hoover, and Jason Crowder and I spoke about this yesterday on the air on his show, is you can kind of turn the kids loose. Right, I mean, we talk about the feral kids of Hoover, and they all go out there on that big SEC hill, and they chase foul balls and things of that nature, and they meet new friends, and you get all these kids out there wearing, you know, their school colors, and everybody is represented. And I remember, you know, getting there yesterday as I'm walking up. I think everybody but Missouri was represented on the hill. Like there were kids from 15 different schools out there enjoying each other at the SEC tournament. And everybody, for the most part, is happy to be there. It's not quite like going to Omaha in that regard. And if you've never been to the College World Series, you can't fully appreciate what I'm saying. But when you go to the College World Series, and those of you that have been know this, everybody there is happy. And there will be fans from 50 schools that will be there, people that just love college baseball. Their team may not even be playing, but they've always wanted to make a pilgrimage to Omaha and go enjoy the College World Series. And they do such a great job. The city of Omaha does a great job. They do a great job at the ballpark. But everybody there has a sense of joy. And it's like kind of like going to Disney World, right, where everybody's just happy and things are done well. And so I encourage you to get to Omaha. And there's something special about watching your team run onto that field in Omaha that does something to you. The SEC tournament's not quite as dramatic, but it's kind of a celebration of college baseball. And it's a chance. It's kind of like the only family reunion that we have in the spring for SEC teams. If you've been to the SEC men's or women's basketball tournament, things run kind of frenetically. It's not as social, right? And that's not to say you shouldn't go to those. You absolutely should. But when you go to the baseball tournament, there's a lot more visiting that goes on. You get to visit with other fans, talk about their team. And the people that go are legit baseball fans, right? People that love the game. They love the conference. They love the league. And I think that's an important aspect of it, too. So it's, you know, it's, if you love baseball, you owe it to yourself to go over to Hoover next year and enjoy the SEC baseball tournament. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without fail. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates, and you get the opportunity to peruse all the amenities available to you and your guest. full service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back porch area, the fire pit area, and conversations around a fire are just more meaningful. I don't make the rules. I'm just here to live by them. 6-bedroom, 2, soon to be 3-bath. How many times do we say it? We need to get together more often, but then we never do. You know, be the linchpin within your friend and family group. You make the plans. Go ahead and check availability with the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and then you begin to make the calls and say, hey, here is what we're going to do. Whether it's a college roommate reunion, or perhaps a girls' weekend, a guys' weekend, family weekend, we stay there for New Year's and had a great time. We'll do it again soon, probably do it for New Year's again. It was so nice to have everybody under one roof, watch a little football, just kind of enjoy life together. And those memories are very meaningful to me because the older I get, the more difficult it is to get all of my kids together. And I love having all of them together and seeing them interact and have a chance to enjoy each other. There's only so much love in the fam chat, right? You've got to be able to get out there and lay hands on one another and just kind of enjoy being with each other because you don't get those chances. I mean, those chances become fleeting later in life. So you owe it to mom and dad to maybe put a great trip together and say, mom and dad, hey, you guys don't have to worry about anything. Me and my siblings are going to pay for this, and we're going to get everybody together, all the grandkids, all the kids. Everybody's going to be there together. We'll play board games, watch TV, whatever. So when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page auto-populates along with some booking options. You can do Airbnb or VRBO, completely up to you. But if you want to save some cash, I can help you. Book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you're saving some money. All right. There will be a lot of projections that come up here in the next week. And there's a lot of baseball left to be played around the country that could impact Mississippi State. If I had to call it today, I think we're heading out west. And you said, but Steve, D1 Baseball saying this. And that's right. They're kind of projecting that Southern Miss will ultimately be a host, and either State or Ole Miss will be there as a two. I agree with that if Southern Miss gets to host, and momentum means a big deal to the committee. It really does. I'm rooting for a Southern Miss regional that includes us. I think it'd be great. I think it's a good chance for us to go down there and win that series. And listen, they're playing well. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to disrespect those guys. They're playing exceptionally well. But there's going to be a couple teams in the SEC go west because there's not going to be enough teams in the west to fill out those brackets. Now, the question kind of becomes, how many brackets end up on the west coast? Will it be Oregon, Oregon State, and UCLA? Well, if I had to call it today, I would say yes. UCLA with an RPI of 15, Oregon with an RPI of 14, and Oregon State with an RPI of 6. And so a lot of people are saying, hey, Ole Miss could host, Southern Miss could host. But you look there at UCLA at 15, and you begin to kind of ask yourself, if you've got 3 4-team regionals out there, where do the other 11 teams come from? Well, some of those are going to have to come from the Southeast. That's a significant development. They're all in the Big Ten, but they're on the West Coast, you know, former Pac-12 schools. And if I had my druthers, I would rather go to L.A. Not just because of the fact I got friends in Hollywood, but because of the fact I think that gives us our best chance to win the regional. I don't know that I want to go to Oregon State. I mean, I'd love to be able to go up there and win, but I think those guys are really good. Now, you look at their schedule, obviously they don't have a conference. There's a lot that goes with that, and there's some people that think Oregon State will be a top 8 national seed. And then you kind of wonder, do you pair up the Oregon State and the Oregon Regional? Right? That's significant, right? What do we do about that? Is UCLA paired up with a TCU regional? Is that part of the equation? You know, not exactly known, right? But that's the thing. We're on that cut line between a 2 and a 3. I think if we end up a 2, we end up in the East. If we end up a 3, I think there's a good chance we go West. I know you don't want to hear that. It's not my job to make you feel good, though. It's my job to tell you what I think based on conversations that I had at Hoover and the data in front of me. And that's one of those things that we're always going to do. I'm not just going to go out there and share what everybody else is reporting. They may be correct. But the reality of this is when I go work through the data, I'm not trying to sell subscriptions to Southern Miss fans. Right? And I'm not in any way bad-mouthing anybody. But my point being is that I can give you an opinion that may be perhaps unpopular. And so when I look at the Big Ten tournament is pool play, UCLA is in there with Michigan and Illinois, right? And so it's interesting how the pool works. And if you've never looked at it, you should. But like UCLA will play, when is this thing getting out of the way? Is it tomorrow? It'd be great if it was. Tuesday. Yeah, got underway yesterday. We'll update this here as we go. But, UCLA will play Illinois on Wednesday, which is today. Maybe that game's already been played. And so that's what we need to do is just kind of look and see if there is an interactive bracket here and kind of see where we are. That would probably be best. I don't always navigate these websites. Okay, so let's see here. So Rutgers beats Indiana 5-2. Michigan State beats Nebraska in 10. These scores are from yesterday. So UCLA wins today over Illinois 8-6, keeping their hopes of hosting alive. Penn State beats Washington 5-3, and then Rutgers and Iowa play tonight. Now UCLA will play Michigan tomorrow morning. And so, again, you begin to look at the RPI and you begin to kind of ask yourself, it's like, okay, so let's just kind of run it down as best we can. Give you our educated guesses for today. And, of course, this is based on the data available right now before all these games are final. We still believe the SEC will get 5 top 8 national seeds. And, again, it's crazy to think that Auburn, with a number 2 RPI and a number 1 SOS, won't be one of them. But that's what happens when you finish, 6th in the league. Georgia, Vanderbilt, Texas, Arkansas, LSU, I believe those are the teams that get the top 8 national seeds from the SEC. Now, you think Auburn swept LSU. And I think of the SEC teams that are getting those designations, LSU may be the weakest. Now, at Alex Fox, it's going to be rocking. They'll probably win, but they got a non-conference SOS of 221. Texas, despite the fact they may be the number 1 team in the tournament, they got a non-conference SOS of 203. And the non-conference SOS is a talking point among committee members when they're discussing Power 4 teams. But so we'll get 5, and you think, okay, well, how do you fill the rest of these out? Well, I think Oregon State is going to be a top 8. And then you look at this and say, okay, what about North Carolina? They could be there too. And then Clemson. But I wonder, Coastal Carolina's got an RPI of 10. Does Coastal slip in there as the 8? And again, 5 from the SEC, 2 from the ACC, and then 1 from the Sun Belt. Could be interesting. Of course, Oregon State's an independent. But again, you just kind of run this thing down here. Does Coastal slip in? Does the committee decide to have that grow the game mentality and let's throw Coastal a bone? Those guys have been incredible, 26-4 in their league. Don't get me wrong. But that's significant. So all of those teams in the top 10, every one of those, including Auburn, is going to host without any question. I think that's the easiest discussion that you can have. The top 10 teams in the RPI will all host. Georgia, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Texas, Arkansas, Oregon State, North Carolina, LSU, Clemson, Coastal Carolina. So that gives you 10 right out of the gate. So you have 6 left to work with. 6. If you go straight RPI, it'd be Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, Oregon, UCLA, and Florida State. Does that make a lot of sense? Well, I think it does to me, but it may not to the committee, because then you start thinking about, well, wait a minute now. Wait just a minute here. How many SEC teams are we going to allow to host? That becomes the big question. I think there's seven. I think we'll get seven. And again, Georgia, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Texas, Arkansas. That's five right out of the gate. LSU is six. And then you start thinking about Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, Ole Miss. And I think one, even though Ole Miss beat Florida head-to-head, Florida's six spots ahead of them in the RPI. And again, momentum. You look at the other metrics other than head-to-head, Florida's got a better overall record. They have a better strength of schedule. They have a better non-con strength of schedule significantly. And so if Florida beats Ole Miss tonight, I think you got a real good chance of Florida hosting. And I'm still curious to see kind of what happens here with this Alabama-Tennessee thing. Now that Alabama has lost, I think that removes them from the equation, even with an RPI of 11. Because I think there's some teams kind of right behind them that'll bump ahead of them in the final RPI. But all of that, I think, is significant. Now, Southern Miss has an RPI of 21. And, again, they also have a representative on the committee. So that's a factor to consider, too. I just am not sure that the committee is going to give the Sun Belt two hosting opportunities when there are so many other SEC teams and ACC teams that are in a better standing. Because you look at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech wins the ACC, RPI of 20. So you're going to give a hosting spot to North Carolina and Clemson, but not the league champion? Those are questions that they got to figure out. And so when I think about, you know, where Georgia Tech is, they may be a surprise host spot too. And, of course, the more you have in the East that are non-SEC, the better chance we have because they're not going to put an SEC team in an SEC regional. You mean Mississippi State's not going to go play a regional at Alabama or Tennessee or just that's those are the rules. And so there's just not a lot on the East. But then when you begin to think about the more host spots we get, that's less SEC road teams you have to place. So that's an important aspect of this thing to kind of figure this thing out. And as we get deeper into the week, by the time we get together on Friday, I think a lot of this will kind of fall into place. We'll have a better idea of where the final RPIs are going to look like. And one of the things that I can tell you really with confidence is what happens on Sunday really doesn't change anything. It really doesn't. Because typically by that point, unless there's like a bid stealer, and they'll have bracket A or bracket B to kind of accommodate that, there's just not a lot of things that are going to be learned on Sunday. So by the time we get there, other than the announcements, we'll have a pretty good idea, maybe as early as Friday, but certainly by the time we get together Monday morning. And what we may do is just wait and do the Monday show after the bracket comes out. As a matter of fact, I think that's the way to go. But you never know. I may sneak in another show. I owe you a couple shows anyway because today is Wednesday. You never know this weekend. As things develop, we may just do like a mini show and kind of update you on things that we're hearing about all of that. Of course, I'll have an update in the morning about the Mississippi State coaching search over jeanspage.com. Posted one last night. I've got some information I'm just trying to confirm. There is a candidate out there that some people have kind of suggested is a priority candidate for us. I've got some information that individual hasn't even been contacted about the job. You'll have to come over to jeanspage.com tomorrow to kind of figure out who we're talking about. But I'm trying to get confirmation to ensure that's correct. I've heard that from one source, and you know, my philosophy's always been like the rule of journalism. You need two independent sources to kind of confirm that. So we're working through that. Because we want to give you all of the details and not just, you know, fantastical type dreams, right? We want to make sure that we're giving you accurate information as best we can about a process that people don't want us to know about, right? That's the challenge, right? And there's a lot of people out there that threw hurdles in your way. Sometimes there's a lot of smoke. As we have said before, the Wes Johnson thing with Georgia, I felt like was a leveraging situation from the word go. I had somebody later say, well, you know, maybe not so much. But Wes Johnson came out and said, I'm not going to be journeying into Starkville. But yet his agent was still out there kind of shopping a little bit. And that's his job. That's not to the detriment of Mississippi State. We weren't expecting him. But it's his job to go out there and get the best deal for his client. And it's so interesting. I'm in the kind of the media control room at Hoover today talking to Ben Beatty, and the Georgia AD says, oh, yeah, the Georgia SID says, oh, we need to get that release out and get it on the crawl about Wes Johnson signing an extension. I said, that happened today. He goes, yeah. I said, well, trust me, it's not a surprise to us. And he kind of laughed at that. But there were some people out there in the very beginning of the search that said, you know, Wes Johnson's going to be a candidate. And that's what happens. A lot of times initial hot boards, we try to make ours as inclusive as possible based on things that make sense, right? And there's going to be obvious candidates. But from the beginning, we have said we didn't think Wes Johnson was going to come. Some other people out there tried to suggest otherwise. But again, there's a lot of people that are kind of venturing into the college baseball world for the first time. And, you know, we feel like we've got a better bead on things. But the reality of it is at this point, we don't know who we're going to hire. And that's important to understand. I'm telling you right now, if I thought we already had a candidate lined up, even if I didn't know the name, I would tell you. I spoke with somebody today that told me we're not sure yet what we're going to do. We're still working through the process. So this Wes Johnson news was expected. It's not bad news for Mississippi State. Not that I don't think Wes would have done a good job at Mississippi State. He was not a candidate that we were expecting to take the job. So we're not back at square one by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's important you know that. Go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get a copy of all of my sports titles and the memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Be sure and check those out. You can get signed copies directly from the website or from great bookstores all around the great state of Mississippi. If you're interested in carrying the books, you can contact the website. They can accommodate you with that too. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. Father's Day is coming out. We've had an incredible couple of weeks. Thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. You've made my wife exceptionally happy. Dial 662-268-7601 to get more information or to schedule, or you can download the True Rest Float Spa app and schedule online, and that has become a much more frequent thing here as of late. And come join us over at jeanspage.com, the home for the best Mississippi State coverage in the history of the universe. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.